The Old Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 40. In the first month in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle. He laid its bases and set up its frames and put in its poles and raised up its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent over it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, and put the poles on the ark, and set the mercy seat above on the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the screen, and screened the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Titus chapter 3. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You may be seated. This John 1 reading is the highest of all the gospel readings. At least that's what Martin Luther makes this comment in a sermon on this text. And he's not wrong. Now, to be sure, all the gospel readings, right, are the highest in that they proclaim to you and give you Jesus and his salvation. The point here, though, is relevant as you gather on this day in the church year, the nativity of our Lord. And so the prologue of John's gospel beautifully proclaims the truth of the incarnation. It's the highest of all the gospel readings as it starts from the infinite and vast and comes to a very distinct point. And really, a point in history to be precise. It all comes to a head in verse 14 when St. John wrote, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word of God is Jesus who came into the world, and as we heard the words from Isaiah in the intro, it, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." This coming into the world, this birth, his righteous life, his suffering and death, his resurrection, are all for us. Now, the Old Testament reading talked about the tabernacle, as God promised to dwell with his people. This tent of meeting, though, was made with hands. It was temporary. And it and the subsequent temples on this earth were preparing the people of God for what was to come, or rather, should we say, who was to come. And it comes in our gospel reading where the Word became flesh, and that Greek word tabernacled among us. It's that word skene, tabernacle. God becoming flesh, begotten of the Father, born of the Virgin Mary, is earth-shattering to be sure. But what's salvific in all of this, it has been done for you, to save you. So seeing Jesus, you see God and his glory full of grace and truth. Let that sink in for a second. Because it's always mind-boggling when you look at this gospel reading and you hear these things about the Word, creation, concepts far beyond the scope of our frail understanding. But what shines forth literally is the fact that God coming into the world to save his people, to save you. Celebrating Christmas is rejoicing in this birth of God in the world. The baby in the manger of Bethlehem is none other than God, who created all things, who sustains all things, and is eternal. He is the one who so humbly lies there amid the filth of animals and is tended to by his mother. The fullness of God is here. The baby Jesus is none other than the eternal God. Mary, the mother of God, when she looks at her newborn son, sees God himself. The Formula of Concord has a lengthy article, Article 8, all on the person of Christ. And near the beginning of this article, though, it nicely confesses in summary what the reading today from John 1 reveals to you about Jesus. And the affirmative statements at the beginning, it says this: we believe, teach, and confess that God's Son from eternity has been a particular, distinct, entire divine person, yet he is true, essential, perfect God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, he received also the human nature into the unity of his person. He did not do this in such a way that there are now two persons or two Christ. Christ Jesus is now in one person at the same time, true eternal God, born of the Father from eternity, and a true man, born of the most blessed Virgin Mary. This is written in Romans 9:5, from their race, according to their flesh, is the Christ who is God over all, blessed forever. So Jesus, as an infant, then, is here accomplishing his work as God in our midst. His righteous life is being lived, fulfilling God's law perfectly, and all that was promised by the prophets is fulfilled in him. You sang about that truth in that beautiful and ancient processional hymn a few minutes ago, one of my favorite Christmas hymns, "Of the Father's Love Begotten." His ministry of preaching and teaching would come as he would grow, become strong, filled with wisdom. His miracles confirmed who he is, even as the Magi came from the east, as we'll celebrate at Epiphany, and bowed down to worship him as king. And yes, in the not-so-distant horizon loomed the suffering and the agonizing death of the cross to pay what is owed by the very people who rejected him. Being God in the flesh, though, he conquered death by his death. And as he laid down his life, he has the authority to raise it up again, and did so on the third day. So Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, they're all viewed in this day. And as you sit here this morning, there is a great gift in all of this for you. But even so, the Lord shows you the abundant mercy and grace in calling you to be his own. Celebrating the birth of your Lord Jesus points to your new birth that he has given to you. So John goes on further to write in our reading, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So the high and eternal language of John's prologue, which comes to a head in the word becoming flesh in John 1:14, also proclaims to you where you fit into this. Where you fit into this whole discussion about the eternal word. And the main verb is driving everything. He gave. God gave. God gave this right to become children of God to you. And you received it not of your own will, but as a gift freely. And so the Holy Spirit has a purpose in your hearing of these words that he inspired the evangelist St. John to write with these profound words. Believing the incarnate word, Jesus, you have life. And you are sons and daughters born of God himself. That's you. And this is the eternal life that you have. Preaching on this famous text is the famous 4th century and into the 5th century preacher John Chrysostom, Golden Mouth, and he had this to say: "Therefore he has reminded us of the manner of our birth, and by comparing it with human birth pains has showed us in superiority, saying, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Moreover, he did this in order that, reflecting on the cheapness and frailty of the former birth, that of blood and the will of the flesh, And realizing the value and nobility of the second, which is of grace, we should therefore conceive great esteem for it, an esteem befitting the gift that has been bestowed, and so henceforth shows much earnestness. So what John Chrysostom is getting to is the point that the birth that you have been given is wonderful, and it's miraculous. Chrysostom in that sermon connects this new birth rightly with where the church has for centuries connected it, as the scriptures teach in the epistle reading. So listen again to it in the language of birth used by God through the pen of St. Paul and how this comes about through means. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Your baptism is your new birth. It's your washing of regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And all things were created by the Word and through the Word, and your new creation, your new life, it's no different. You are saved by the working of God, as he has accomplished it in the Word made flesh, as he delivered it to you and worked the salvation for you in the baptismal waters. So the world was created by the Word. The world rejected the Word, but dear people of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Behold Christ, born for you. He was born into this world to redeem you, and he has given you a new birth as he has washed away your sins, as he has rescued you from the death and the devil, and he has given you eternal salvation. Rejoice with the angels at his birth. Go running with the shepherds to where Jesus is found. Here you are, here he is, and he still dwells among you richly to forgive you, to strengthen you, to guard you, to keep you, all in his care. Rejoice that your Lord was born and you have been born from above, born into his kingdom, which knows no end. This is your gift, and this is the gift that lasts for eternity. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Dear people of God, the goodness and loving kindness of God your Savior has appeared, and he has saved you. Thanks be to God for such mercy, such grace shown to you. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is your Lord, who did this all for you and promises you that you have a place with him, reborn into his kingdom, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.